Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
I'm Ted Cruz's wife, Senator Ted Cruz's wife, Heidi Cruz from Texas, and you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Hey, we're kicking it off this week with Senator Ted Cruz's wife, Heidi Cruz, and she got us off to a good start. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're glad we have you right here listening to us because, wow, there's so much to talk about, what's going on across the country, what's going on across the world. And one thing you need to know, you're listening to us right now on webtalkradio.net. And we have got so much to put into this show. We got to get it going right now. Let me tell you, we're going to be talking about, well, let me play something to see if you can tell what it's about. If you guessed, that was what was happening on Wall Street in New York City last week, you would be right. That's right. It's a roller coaster ride on Wall Street around the world in all the stock markets. And Doc Holliday has an exclusive show today telling you some things you need to know. I ask my good friend Elton John. Now, you know I don't know Elton John, but he had a song, and it makes me think, when is this roller coaster ride going to stop? How long is it going to last?
And I think it's going to be a long, long time. And I think it's going to be a long, long time. And I think it's going to be a long,
how long is it going to be, a roller coaster ride on Wall Street? Well, you need to listen to this show because I've put some news together, some things that you may not have heard, and I'm putting them together. Some of them you have heard, some of them you haven't, but the reasons why we have a volatile market, the reasons why that we have some things that even the top financial specialists don't understand, and we're bringing some clips we played on previous shows to bring together what you only hear on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're also going to be talking about Hillary Clinton and the Democratic race for president, the Democratic nomination. Wow, some big moves going on. We're going to get to that. But topping off this week, we have some news about the Republican nomination. Let's get going. Take a listen to this.
Okay, who's next? Yeah, please. Excuse me, sit down. You weren't called. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Go ahead. No, you don't. You haven't been called. Go back to Univision. Go ahead.
You cannot deport 11 million.
Go ahead.
From, you cannot deport.
Sit down, please. You weren't called.
I'm a reporter and I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Trump.
Hi, Chip. Yes.
Rob, you do that?
No, I wouldn't do that. She actually should be apologizing to me, but I would not do that.
Why,
no.
Why does she do it?
Now, that was Donald Trump. And did you hear him as there was a reporter from Univision. He kept telling him to sit down. He kept trying to ask his question. He said, you're not called on. He told him to sit down and sit down. And finally, they had security take the reporter out. And then he asked a reporter to ask a question. And the first question was, are you going to apologize to Megyn Kelly? I don't know if you heard that, but that was the question there at the end. And of course, Trump said, no, she should apologize to me. I have to say, now, when was the last time you heard a presidential candidate be so brash to the press? Now, I've seen him get mad at the press. I've seen him get upset with questions. But, I mean, Donald Trump was telling him to sit down. He said he wasn't going to apologize. The American people have not really seen a Donald Trump running for president and not leading for a nomination of either party. But here he is running ahead in New Hampshire and Iowa, and he's leading the pack nationwide. Donald Trump is several points ahead of the next contender in all the polls. Now, why? Well, there's an article in the New York Post from one of John Podoritz, and he was telling us in his article that he thought Donald Trump is one that I'll just read a couple of sentences. He says, Trump has cut out the middleman. He is his own spokesman, his own opposition research director, and his own campaign hitman. All rolled into one. And he went on and said, candidates struggle to be consistent. They try to explain their changes of opinion. They find themselves making those changes, but not Trump. He said, who was able in less than 1 minute earlier this week to say he supports a flat tax in which everyone in the country pays the same rate and wants rich people to pay at a higher rate. Now, most, like he said, most people just cut that up and cut a candidate in pieces, but not Donald Trump. And he did say that at any other time in American history, such an answer would make him a laughingstock, but not Trump. He's laughing all the way to the polling bank. That means his polling numbers are going up. We know there's a crowd of they were going to have a rally for Trump in Mobile, Alabama just last week. And they had a venue for 2,000 people. Had to move it to a 40,000-seat stadium. They didn't fill it all up. But can you see? Has any other candidate brought those kind of crowds in at this point in the race? Well, there are some things you need to know about Donald Trump. And there's some things you need to know about the Republican race for the White House. And surely we've talked about it on this show several times, and I told you you're going to hear some things here you won't hear anywhere else. I'm going to let some of the statistics tell you what's going on. The polling numbers jumping all around. Do we see any consistency in Jeb Bush? No, we don't. Some gurus have said that Jeb Bush's plan was to suck the money out of all the money people that always contribute to the Republican Party and then let everybody else sort of dry on the vine. And that's what, you know, you look back, that was the game plan of Mitt Romney in 2012. He had challenges from Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, and others, but he sucked the vine dry of the money. They couldn't come up to raise the money that Romney did because he was the go-to guy of the gurus of the Republican Party. But who can suck the money away from Donald Trump? That's not working. So Jeb Bush is sort of sitting in flat in the water. They don't know what to do. And I'm laughing a little bit. You hear the humor on my face. I want the Republicans to win the White House. You've heard me after the first debate say that Trump didn't look presidential to me like I would like to see. But I have to tell you, he's got the Republicans spinning in a frenzy. Now, what's going on? When I say Republicans, I mean the Republican hierarchy. And in a couple of states, they're talking about possibly South Carolina making Donald Trump pledge that he will support or make all the candidates pledge they'll support the Republican nominee to get their name on the ballot or to get the delegates if they win. That's up to each individual state. And state parties can decide, the GOP in each state can decide how they're going to help put these delegates out. Now, there are some guidelines from the national GOP, but this is the process of picking a nominee. We're going to see in the next few weeks what happens if more states try to put some pressure on Donald Trump to make sure he'll support the nominee if it's not Donald Trump. And I really hadn't seen a phenomenon like Donald Trump. And he's throwing all these professional gurus. I call them gurus, but the political masters. And they always tell the Republicans, this is what you got to do to win. They're throwing them in a frenzy, I tell you. And I love to hear what's being said on the walls about Donald Trump. So it's one of those things that, John Podoritz said that he even compared Trump to be the right-wing Obama, to run roughshod over the rules to fix things that Obama and other politicians have broken. That's what he was saying. That's why so many people are like Donald Trump, because they've just hated the way that Obama has just run roughshod over the Constitution, and they want somebody to be the antithesis of Obama. And so that's his theory why Trump is getting so many people looking at him. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to get you an update on the Democratic nomination. But I'm going to start it with something a little unusual. I got some exclusive footage when Ted Cruz was in my hometown of Tupelo, Mississippi. And he actually talked about the Democratic nominating process. And I'm going to let you take a listen to what he said and see what you think.
So now the Democratic field consists of a wild-eyed socialist with ideas that are dangerous for America and the world, and Bernie Sanders. By the way, it's more than a little funny if you happen to have watched the head of the Democratic Party when asked on TV, can you explain to me the difference between a Democrat and a socialist? And they can't do it. My attitude is just sit back and listen. You tell me. If you're not that, what a part of that don't you agree with? They can't answer that question. And it's interesting, maybe that's why the Democrats haven't had any debates. And it looks like they might not. They're moving their debate later and later, October, November. They may move it to 2017. Actually, the Democrats had planned an early debate. The problem was the invitation to the debate was emailed to Hillary.
So that was Ted Cruz saying the Democrats had planned an earlier debate, but all the emails were emailed to Hillary. And so we start that with what's going on in the run for the Democratic nomination. Well, guess what? Joe Biden is thinking about it. Guess what? Joe Biden met with Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren, for you to have been keeping up with it, the senator from Massachusetts, who has been a, quote, a Wall Street reformer. There's also some things. She had gotten a position, I believe, at Harvard, if I am correct, because she had Cherokee blood. And then she has a minority status. But it doesn't seem like she's been officially able to prove DNA or anywhere else that she has any Native American blood in her. But she did do had a recipe from a Native Indian recipe book or something. So that's who the socialist that would like to see Bernie Sanders, or don't think Bernie Sanders can make it, they would love for Elizabeth Warren to run. But she, out of respect for Hillary Clinton, was not going to run against Hillary Clinton. So what would happen if Joe Biden, Vice President Joe, who sometimes sticks his foot in the mouth, and we could play a lot of those takes, but what would happen if Vice President Joe said, I'm going to pick my vice president, and I'm going to run for president, and my vice president nominee will be Elizabeth Warren. Now, would that fire up the left? I think so. What would happen if Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden went after it? Now, you have to remember, Barack Obama was in trouble in the summer of 2012. And at the Democratic National Convention, he had a good speech, but it wasn't as good as Bill Clinton's speech. And Bill Clinton got on the stage and helped save the day for Barack Obama. And he went down to Florida and campaigned hard to put Florida in his winning column. And Clinton went to other states. And you would think there was a deal made, you know, I'm going to help you get reelected because you can't do it on your own, buddy. But, you know, you need to help Hillary in four more years to be her turn. But something just never fits with the Clintons and the Obamas. And obviously, I really believe if Joe Biden gets in this race, Barack Obama's going to tip his hat toward his vice president. He already did, and the White House gave out the statement that that Barack Obama has always said the best political decision he's ever made was making Joe Biden his vice president. And so what does that mean with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton? Obviously, it wasn't his best decision making her Secretary of State. That is what's throwing everything into a frenzy in the Democratic circles. And now look at the 17... people running for president on the Republican side. We got Fiorina, we got Ben Carson, African American, and we got diversity, two Hispanics. It's amazing what you got diversity in the Republican Party, and then what do you have on the Democratic side? You got some old white folks. Men and women, but there's not a young person among them. So where are all the young Democrats? Where Barack Obama left them high and dry. So some interesting times coming up for the Democratic nomination, and we're going to keep you abreast of what's going on right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Let me remind you, you are listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And in just a moment, we are going to talk about the roller coaster ride on Wall Street. Last week, is it continuing? This week, where are you? What's going to happen pretty soon? Well, if you remember, we had a guest on this show early in the year, and he said something about September 11th, 2015. You remember that? You may not want to remember it, but you may better hear it because this is a week before that week. Some of you are listening to this on August 31st, the last day of August, and then we got the first week of September, and in the second week of September, there's something happening more than just being an anniversary of 9/11. We had a guest that told us, and I'm going to bring some of his words back in just a minute, but let's talk about what happened last week. Well, I was there on, we had a stock market taking a dive after China. A lot of China's been topsy-turvy and roller-coastered back and forth, and they've lost a lot of their stock value. And so China's been pumping money in. And, you know, we talked about on the show over a month ago where I believe we mentioned how, you know, they weren't allowed, big mutual funds and things weren't allowed to sell stock, trying to stop the damage and the bleeding. And on a Chinese stock market, they were doing a lot of things, but it wasn't enough. And then one day last week, you look and the Dow Jones is down over 1,000 points in 3 minutes. 1,000 points in 3 minutes. And then it came roaring back, and they lost a couple hundred. And the next day, what happened? Well, there was we had a roller coaster where it went up 600 points, and is going back and forth. Back and forth. Now, I don't know how it's doing this week, but I'm telling you, there's volatility. And just like I played that little clip from Elton John, it's going to be a long time. Get ready. Get set for volatility. We were just talking about the Greece deal a month ago. Greece is defining the euro and what's happening in Greece. Remember, we talked about pigs. What's pigs? P-I-G-S. Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. all of them in trouble. And Greece, they bailed them out. They kicked the can down the road. How's it looking for world markets? Well, they're small, you know, little Greece. Don't worry about it. Is that what people are saying? That's the euro. Well, how's the euro going to do? If all the nations of Europe back in the euro currency, what's happening to the dollar? I want to tell you one thing right now when I'm talking about the dollar. Do you remember Barack Obama said, if we don't get this Iran deal passed, if you don't support me on this Iran deal, he said this. He said that it could threaten the American dollar being the world's reserve currency. Now, if Barack Obama's a true American, and people get mad at me for saying that, but he will protect the world currency, reserve currency of the American dollar. He would not put it at risk with the Iran deal. But that's what he's done. That's what he's done. And he would even have the audacity to say, if we don't go through his Iran deal, then the world currency, reserve currency being American dollar is in jeopardy. Well, of course the Russians want it out. Of course the Chinese want it out. What's it going to be? It can't be the Chinese yuan now. It can't. Because why? Because it's not a stable currency. People are looking at America to be stable, but can you be stable in America? That is what's going on. The topsy-turvy thing. You need to understand, those who don't quite understand what this American dollar being the world's reserve currency is, it's what keeps America floating a little high and keeping our lifestyle probably a lot better than it should be. Because we can print money and it doesn't affect us like it does in other countries. Not yet, but we keep pushing the envelope, $18 trillion, and we've seen the Federal Reserve pump in through quantitative easing, you know, $4.3 trillion counting. That's not money backed by anything other than trust to the United States government. And what would happen if we went into a worldwide collapse of stock markets? What could we do? We can't lower interest rates. They're talking about maybe raising interest rates finally after several years. But instead of raising interest rates, you saw what happened last week when a Federal Reserve official pretty much put on hold the rising of any interest rates. Well, the stock market just it jumped up another 600 points. And so it's good, but for the fact that what goes up must come down, is that what's going to happen? Well, that's why we have so much volatility in this market. And effectively, it probably should be done because it's like a drug. And that's why stocks have done so good the last few years, because the money's being pumped in, stock market's going up. But if they raise the interest rates, then that's going to drop the market. It always does to some degree, not drastically. But what happens? The only way, if we have a severe drop in the market, to try to get any kind of liquidity back in is to do more quantitative easing, meaning printing more money without anything backing it up. And so it's like somebody blowing a balloon up. And you think, okay, we got to slowly let this air out to get the economy back so it's not having to be supported by this blown up balloon. And just when the Federal Reserve thought it was okay, started letting a little air out of that balloon to help everything ease down so it won't be on a precipice of collapse. Now, with the markets all jittery and everything on the edge, now if everything crashes, the only thing can happen is the Federal Reserve must blow that balloon up higher and the bubble is a high risk to pop, and the American economy could collapse along with the rest of the world. Ooh, that's ugly, isn't it? Don't like hearing that, do you? I don't either. I got money in mutual funds. I got money in stocks. I got money in the stock market. So what should I do? What's coming up in the second week of September I talked to you about? Take a listen to this show we had earlier this year with our friend Jonathan Kahn, who's the best-selling author of The Mystery of the Shemitah.
The loop 29. It was 1987 when it led into Black Monday, the worst wipeout in history for a percentage day. So I will say this. I'm not saying that, you know, something has to happen at the exact thing or within the Shemitah, but I believe it very well could. And number two, whether it happens now or not, I believe because all the signs, starting with the book The Harbinger and now with the Shemitah, they're all converging.
Now, Jonathan, you say the signs are converging for this September 2015, and, you know, we don't want to scare our listeners, but that's why I have you on, because you have a track record. You've gone back and researched these things, and I think our listeners need to know. And I know the mainstream media is not picking up, but the people are, because you're a New York Times best-selling author, and this is very unusual. So what about this convergence?
Signs of a collapse are coming, and that whether it's in the time or beyond it, I believe a gigantic shaking is coming to America that will strike the financial realm, the economic realm, and even be greater than those realms. Just like 9/11 was caused by, you know, an event. That, I mean, the crash of Wall Street was caused by this 9/11 event. 9/11, yet it crashed on the exact day appointed in the Bible. So all these things are together. So I believe we are in great danger, and I believe we need to be prepared. This has affected our lives. I believe it's going to be even greater, and I believe we need to be prepared. So that's why I wrote the book.
Now, that's Jonathan Kahn, and I got that clip out to get your attention. I hope I got your attention. Who is he? Well, he's written two best-selling books, The Harbinger and then The Mystery of the Shemitah. Now, you go back and listen to the archive tapes, and it explains about Shemitah, explains it more in detail. Let me just sum it up here at the end of the show, because Shemitah is going back in the Jewish calendar that's in the Old Testament of the Bible. It talks about the Shemitah year every 7 years. Jonathan Kahn has done is put together the 7 years in a Jewish calendar, and he said the year of Shemitah ends on what he calls Elul 29, which is our September 13th. It's coming up. I told you, next week. Next week, September 13th, but it's on a Sunday. So he says that possibly something could happen in the stock market on the Friday before, which is what? It's September 11th. And so what happened 7 years ago? Well, 7 years ago, at the end of the Shemitah year, which is not exactly, it would be the month of September, and it happened. It was, you remember, because George W. Bush was president. John McCain was the Republican nominee, and he thought about not even going to the first debate with Barack Obama because we were in such dire economic straits. You remember that? The crisis that started the Great Recession, and it was so bad that McCain wouldn't even go in to possibly debate. But now, that was the end of the year of Shemitah, 7 years ago. What happened 7 years before that? It was the day, the Elul 29, I believe, you go back and listen to archives, but he was telling us the end of Shemitah year happened the day the stock market opened after 9/11. And it was a huge tumble and loss. So that happened 14 years ago now. Of this month, September. So you go back and those, and now I don't know what happened in 1994. I should have asked him that. We're not going to get into that. Nothing seemed to be a big drop in the market, I don't believe. But 7 years before 1994, it was 1987. Ronald Reagan was president, the biggest single day drop in the stock market. And at the end of the Elul 29, the end of the Shemitah year. So those are the things that I want to bring your attention. If you have mutual funds, a 401k, or money in a stock market, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what a best-selling author is saying, and he's got some track record, and he gets it from the Bible. I don't know if you're a believer in the Bible. I don't know if you believe in the Old Testament, New Testament, or both, but I am telling you this Jonathan Kahn is bringing out some news that all of a sudden, why are all the markets shaking and jittery? Why is it something that he said could have been set in stone 3,000 years ago? Well, you go back and listen to archives, and you can look at your financial situation And I am not a financial advisor, but I want you to be aware, because I told you, you're going to hear things on this show, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, you won't hear anywhere else. And if you go back and listen to the archive shows, there are two shows with Jonathan Kahn back in March 2015. I was getting you ready and prepared for September. And September is here. So there's another thing you put in there, talking about the Shemitah years, every 7 years. But there's also every 49 years, a 49 and 50th year. It's what they call the year of Jubilee. And you've heard the term Jubilee. It comes from the Old Testament. 49 years. Guess what? 2015, year of Shemitah, is also the beginning of the Jubilee year, when there's big events have happened the last two Jubilees. And you can go back and listen to the archives. But the last two Jubilee years were huge events concerning the nation of Israel. Not making this up. And you just need to understand that. And Jonathan talks about that. But I also will go back, what I mentioned 2 or 3 years ago, which I hoped would be a part of the election of 2012. It did not happen. But I've noticed you put 70 years, and we've talked about the 70 years. Seven's important. 70's important. But 70 years, not to the day, not even to the year, but in a cycle of 70 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence, there was a big dramatic happening. And this is Doc Holliday's speculation, nothing to do with Jonathan Kahn. But 70 years after the signing of the United States Constitution, what was a big event? There's a huge event came up. We call it the American Civil War. Now, if you go toward the end of that shaking, a national shaking, if Jonathan Kahn was calling it that, well, after the end, which ended in 1865, 70 years beyond that will put you 1935, another in the midst of a great shaking of the Great Depression. Never ended. The Depression did not end till the end of World War II. But 70 years from the end of August 1945, when Japan surrendered, leads us when? 70 years. Oh, another shaking, if it comes, will be 2015. Okay? 70 years from the signing of the United States Constitution, America's first traumatic shaking, the American Civil War, 70 years after the end of that war, the Great Depression and World War II, another great shift in power in American history. 70 years from 1945 is 2015. Will we have a third great shaking in America that would transform our politics? And after the Civil War, the politics were all gone to the Republican Party, the new party. After 1945, the Democrats shifted in control during the Great Depression and the liberal agenda. Could we have another great shaking in America that would bring us back to the conservative side for another 70 years? Well, that's Doc Holliday's theory. Nobody else, anywhere else, in the entire earth has said anything about the 70-year cycle, except for right here on Doc Holliday's Rock-Splitting Politics. You've heard Jonathan Kahn, and I'm just telling you, these are things I want you to be aware of. You won't hear them on any other show. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy promoter, but I am a voice of reason. I'm a voice that likes to get different angles of different policies, different outlooks, and I'm giving you, the listeners, an outlook that you won't hear anywhere else. You've heard Jonathan Kahn, and you can go look him up on Google and other places, but you won't hear anything about the 70-year cycle, because it's original, the Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Pray for the best, plan for the worst, and we'll get through the next few weeks together. And be sure to listen to next week's show. You don't want to miss that.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.